and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having an absolutely blessed Labor Day. We're here at Health Masters running, as always, getting your packages out and taking phone calls. And again, we appreciate the support as we are here essentially watching what is happening over to the Bahamas right now. We need to keep everybody in our prayers as well. How are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I want to thank you guys because, you know, we talked about praying for the storm on Friday, and boy, you guys have been praying. We're going to pray right now in the air in unison. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I cast the storm back into the sea. I station angels all around that coast of Florida, Lord, and I command this thing goes back out into the ocean, back into the Atlantic. It does not come near the state of Florida, doesn't come near South Carolina, it just goes away. It goes back out in the ocean and it is dissipated, Father. Anything working against us, I bind it right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father, that this thing gets dispersed into the ocean and this loss of life stops and this thing gets completely and totally turned. Thank you, Father. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen and amen. Guys, that's how we pray. I talked about on Friday what we don't pray. So you guys have been doing great. I've been praying all weekend. You guys, I'm sure, have been praying all weekend. So we're going to stick this thing out together and we're going to believe God. There's not enough other people saying stuff. But guess what? We just prayed to circumvent that. So let's pray. So we're going to believe that in unison, that we're all going to work together in the body of Christ and in the unity of the believer. I'm going to say something to you guys. This is going to sound kind of weird. A few years ago, we had one of these toad strangling thunderstorm, you know, microburst things coming towards my house and lightning everywhere. And we live in like the lightning capital of the world anyhow. And it's boom, 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 boom all around us. And we had this giant front coming towards us with just lightning everywhere. And I walked outside of that garage and I rebuked that thing in Jesus' name. I said, nope, not here, not going to happen. And that thing turned and went around us. And I went inside and looked at the Doppler radar. And right over our house, right over the area where we live, it was clear. And this thing completely circumvented. And it went all around us. It was like a bubble, you know, almost around my house. It was the neatest thing I've ever seen God do. One of the neatest things. Because he answers so many of my prayers like that. And guys, this is how we have to believe. We have to have the prayer of unison of the believer, and we have got to work together on this, guys, because it's just something we have to look at. By the way, I want to make a couple comments, and I know Austin will talk about it in a second. In fact, I'll let him talk about it after I make the comment on it. I've got an article I want to cover with you guys about what happened in 2013 and 2014 when these kids came into college about 6 years ago. We're going to talk about that and what kind of groups they were. So I'm going to talk about that in just a minute, but I also want to talk about that shooting this weekend over in Texas, when we had two black schools, pretty much all black, with a bunch of rival gangs get together, and they shot a bunch of people at a football game, and the mainstream news has shut up about it, has not talked about it. And why? Because the mainstream narrative is the white guys are the bad guys, the white guys are the racists, the white guys are causing all the shootings. It did not fit in there with their narrative, so they had to make sure they got rid of the narrative, and they got rid of that problem as far as not understanding. Okay, I'm not being clear. That particular narrative was going to scramble their narrative to show how ridiculously stupid their narrative is. Okay, so they don't want to have that narrative. And then we turn right around, and somebody apparently jumps in a mail truck and starts shooting people over in Texas. And the thing about it is, guys, you know how many thousands of mail trucks are in major cities? I mean, they're all over the place. And now they're saying there were multiple shooters in these mail trucks shooting people. And now all of a sudden it comes back to the one white guy, lone assassin, who gets shot at the end. And everybody forgets all the reports of the multiple shooters. You know, Austin, you would think they could write a different script. The problem is it's the same lie over and over and over and over and over again as they push more and more draconian measures and they continually chip away at our Second Amendment rights. What do you think, son?
Well, first off, I mean, I want to say that, you know, the aspect of what we saw that's very odd is exactly what you brought up. Friday night in Mobile, Alabama, there were 9 people that were seriously wounded with gunfire at a high school football game. Now, to me, from what we hear with the mainstream media, how it's always about the kids and how we need to do this for the kids and how we need to save the kids, you would think there would be actually some legitimate coverage on the shooting, but there's been little to none. Even any of the mainstream outlets that have covered it, they've buried it. It's listed, but it's way buried down the list. And I mean, you have 9 kids at a high school football game that are shot on Friday night. and nobody talks about it. Now, of course, again, like Dad said, the main shooter was a 17-year-old black male, so that doesn't fit the narrative. And I'm not saying that because that's the only way that they're going to cover it is if the individual's white. But what I'm saying is, don't we find it highly ironic that Friday night we have a huge mass shooting at a high school football game, and then the next thing we know, Saturday afternoon, we have this massive drive-by shooting rampage all over Midland, Odessa, all afternoon? Very, very odd. Now, one thing about this is that I wanted to kind of bring this up because I was doing a little bit more of the research and kind of looking back and forth in parallel. One thing that happened with the El Paso shooting, with the Walmart shooting, was the mainstream narrative didn't last. I can't even tell you how many alternative news outlets, how many people that I even talked to directly that said that shooting didn't make sense and we were being lied to about something. All the way from how the manifesto didn't match up with the kid saying in the manifesto, allegedly saying that he was going to wear gloves because the Wasser 10 AK was going to overheat. Then in photos, he's not wearing any gloves. We hear about how the two individuals that were shot at the entrance point blank, but yet he shot him in the leg and in the side. And yet in the photo of him entering the store, we don't see any blood, any people, any casing, any smoke, anything going on at the entrance. There's over 100 plus video cameras in Walmart. Not a single video footage has been released. And then, of course, we have repeated eyewitness accounts in El Paso of multiple shooters, at least 3 to 4 individuals in all black coming into Walmart. That crashed the narrative, guys. We talked about it repeatedly, and a plethora of other alternative media talked about it until a lot of the general population was talking about it. Well, I don't know everything that happened in Midland, Odessa yet. I'm going basically off the reports that I see. But what I can tell you is from a easier to control narrative with no video cameras, very few direct witnesses that can eyewitness anybody, and a complete and total barrage of miscommunication because nobody could figure out what was going on because it was such a cluster bomb, so to speak. Because here's the mainstream narrative of what they have pretty much told everybody, that the Department of Public Safety said the gunman's rampage began when two troopers attempted to stop a gold car on Interstate 20 westbound at 3:13 p.m. Prior to the vehicle coming to a complete stop, the male driver pointed a rifle towards the rear window of the car and fired several shots toward the DPS patrol unit, hitting one of the troopers. Now, the first thing that I tried to find, just out of curiosity when I pulled up a lot of this information, is why they were conducting a traffic stop on this individual. That was my first question. Was he speeding? Was registration expired? Was it a stolen car? What was the reason? You have two troopers executing a traffic stop on the interstate at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Why were they pulling this vehicle over? The next aspect about it is, can they actually be certain that there was only one occupant in the vehicle? How do we know the driver wasn't driving and the individual in the back seat didn't pop an AR off around behind the seat and engage the law enforcement? Just my question, because it doesn't make any sense. Then it goes on to say the suspect fled the scene, which patrol did not at the time because they had a wounded officer, and he continued to shoot innocent people, including another Midland police and Odessa police officer that tried to respond. The trooper's in serious but stable condition. The two other officers are in stable condition. After that shooting, the suspect continued west in Odessa, shot another person on the interstate before driving around the eastern part of the city where there are multiple crime scenes and victims. There you go again. There are multiple crime scenes and victims. So this guy just drove around by himself and accurately shot people while he was driving, and they were in other vehicles and they were standing on the side of the road. Then it says the subject stole a mail van and committed additional shootings. Then the suspect traveled back east in the stolen mail van towards the movie theater where law enforcement agencies engaged them and killed the suspect on the scene. if that doesn't sound like a complete and total hodgepodge narrative, I don't know what does. It sounds to me like law enforcement couldn't figure out what the heck was going on, and there were multiple vehicles flying around the whole entire city. Because one thing that's odd to me, and almost all the mainstream outlets have scrubbed this now, there's only one article I could find this on Fox News. When this first occurred on Saturday, there were multiple articles that had popped out saying that law enforcement had reported and put on dispatch, on 9/11 dispatch, that there were multiple shooters in two separate vehicles. Then at a news conference Saturday evening, Gerke, the police chief, said the suspect killed at the movie theater was the only gunman. Now, I find that extremely odd, because law enforcement is usually pretty apprised to a situation, and they don't generally put stuff out on the dispatch that they know not to be accurate. If you have multiple vehicles driving around with multiple people shooting, that's a pretty hard thing to confuse between one person running around shooting people and then switching mail trucks, because more than likely they probably had aerial helicopter patrolling the situation after a certain period of time. Anytime you have a shooting like that and a chase, they always dispatch helicopters. So that's just my take on it. I'm going to do a little bit more research on it. But again, we see that the El Paso narrative completely crumbled. We have a gang shooting at a high school football field where the individual, they're still trying to figure out how he even got this gun. It looks like it may have been a stolen firearm, like a gang firearm, who shoots nine people at a high school football field. Mainstream media is completely silent. And now we have this random 36-year-old white guy who gets pulled over by troopers for some unknown reason, and then allegedly engages them through the back window from the driver's seat, which is very hard to do without completely turning around to have any type of accuracy, by the way, because that's the odd part. It says prior to the vehicle coming to a complete stop. Prior. Meaning the vehicle did not come to a complete stop, yet the driver pointed a rifle towards the rear window of the car and fired several shots, hitting one of the officers. Now, I don't know if anybody has been in a vehicle before. Shooting a rifle inside of a vehicle is not an easy task. It's very difficult to move. You're hitting on things. Your elbow's catching. Your head's hitting the roof. Your barrel's hitting seats. So this guy allegedly didn't stop the car yet, was still rolling, and threw an AR behind him in his car and started shooting through the back window and happened to hit one of the officers. I don't buy that for a second with probability with shooting. It sounds to me like either he stopped, turned around, and engaged them, or there was a second person in that car that popped up and engaged them with much better accuracy. That's what it sounds like to me, but again, I wasn't there. I'm just giving you what my personal thoughts are on this with the entire aspect of what we see in the shooting. So I just wanted to kind of give everybody that, Deb, because this whole thing is really, really, really odd, to say the least, and also the timing, and we have all this stuff going on with this hurricane down here, with the Bahamas down here, and now all of a sudden the whole narrative's changed. Everything's focused on another mass shooting of a white guy from a white guy in Odessa, and now the Congress is demanding we have more gun control, blah, 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 and we don't even know all the facts about this shooting except what CNN and NBC are basically telling us.
Okay, you're awesome. I agree with you 100%. I apologize. I said earlier, I said it was Texas for the football game, but it was Alabama. I knew that, but I've got a lot of stuff going on with the news this morning. I've got a whole thing I want to cover with you guys this morning. I wasn't using my notes. Something happened in 1994, 1995. The recommended childhood immunization schedule changed massively. And I posted this on my website, and they're making changes here for 94 and 95. Altered immunization schedule prompted the unification process vaccine recommendations made by the American Academy of Pediatrics and the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. In addition to presenting the newly recommended schedule, right now I'm telling you what it is, for the administration of vaccines during childhood, this report addresses the previous differences between the AAP and ACIP childhood vaccination schedules and the rationale for changing the previous schedule. So right in the mid-90s, 94, 95, everything changed. Now, I'm posting this on my website. You're saying, well, why would that matter? Stay with me, guys. This is very important today. It says, in 1994, the substantial difference between the recommended schedules included the schedule for the infant hepatitis B vaccination and the timing of the third dose of oral poliovirus and the second dose of the MMR resolution of these differences in the schedules described in the following sections. And it goes into detail on how they're massively increasing the amount of immunizations starting in 94 and 95. So in 94 and 95, we are going to have a situation where you have a lot of kids that are becoming into college. You know, in 95, let's see, they're going to be 95, 2005, it'd be 10. So it would be from 95, so it'd be about 2013, 2014. Sorry, that'd be about right. 2013 to 2014, these children who got all these extra doses would be going into college. You follow? Am I making sense, Austin?
Yes, your phone was breaking up a little bit, so I was trying to follow you on that. But yes.
Okay, well, this is so important. My phone breaks up, I got to have to say it twice. In 94, 95, they massively increased the immunization schedule. In 2013 and 2014, these children are entering college. And then I want to read an article here. And he goes, something happened in 2013 and 2014 on the elite drive for Civil War. And you think, what the heck does that have to do with 2013 or 2014? And what he does, he starts talking about college children and the people. He starts talking about, this is a very long article, so I'm having to scroll through it right now. Normally I would have printed it up if I'd been at the house. But what happened is the children who came into college in that particular time, this author says were different. He says they were different. They were more withdrawn. They didn't date. They didn't have boyfriends. They didn't have girlfriends. They basically had completely and totally changed as far as their attitude from all of the previous generations of college kids. And when he was talking about this, he did not talk about what happened and why it was caused in the early 90s. He's blaming a lot of it on social media, and that's also part of it. He said hate is especially concerned with the change he's seen on campus and the lifestyles and attitudes of students happened quite abruptly, he says, in 2014. Exact age of these kids getting all these shots. That's why much of his latest book, The Coddling of the American Mind, is all about. That's why I said to note the date of his earlier book, which is Overall More Cheerful Tone. Something happened in 2013, Hay suggests. Our society, the younger strata, it turned some kind of corner. It's the phenomenon that another author by the name of Yaglis basically has said in his book, The Great Awakening. I have heard the same thing from other academics. This youngest tranche of students, the ones raised on social media, I'm adding vaccines, are, they say, different and scary from the way it's gone before. Key differences in their closed-mindedness, their emotional fragility, they have high levels of depression and anxiety. This sounds a lot like autistic symptoms, guys. Remember, I covered this story. Nobody else covers this stuff. I covered this story last week where autism is going to become the new normal, and all of these diseases and all of these brain problems are going to become the new normal. Key differences are their closed-mindedness, the emotional fragility, they have high levels of depression and anxiety, they don't date much, they don't have sex much, they don't fall in love. Now, I would say that's now you think about that for a second. What in the world happened besides social media in the mid-90s? Because remember, social media back in 1995 was pretty much non-existent. It didn't exist. I mean, the internet was around, but it was very, very basic. And it was very, very slow. You know, they didn't have all these huge platforms like, you know, Facebook and all these different things that were so huge back then. I don't know what year they started, but it didn't exist back then. So something else happened. And I'm telling you guys, it's the massive immunization increase with the MMR and all the other things they started doing all these kids in the mid-90s that's caused so many of these problems. And you could couple that, Austin, with the dumbing down of America by the use of fluoride, with the aluminum and the vaccines and all these different things. What ends up happening is you got a situation where our universities now are even seeing, when Harrison started law school last week, and he's in there now with the kids basically who have been completely raised on vaccinations. Most of them are 22 years old. So you got to go back to the mid-90s again. And then these kids basically are stoic. They're withdrawn. They don't have the cognitive development or skills they should. They're almost as if they're not autistic, but it's, you know, a step below that. So they're not quite autistic. And so the thing about that blows my mind, Austin, is this is exactly what the globalists wanted. This is exactly what their goal was. Have a group of people that were servile and infertile with lower IQ scores, and now they have them. And guys, when my generation, when the baby boomers, because we're all, a lot of my older friends are starting to check out now, when this, when the generation of baby boomers decides that they are no more and they leave this planet, guess what? You know, we'll have Austin's generation, which is still pretty stable, because he was born in 88 before all this massive vaccination thing started. But guys, when you start, when you start putting this latest generation of kids in charge with all of behavioral problems and anxiety disorders and all of the drugs and medication that they're already taking. Alexis, my daughter, was dating a guy last year. Massive problems with depression. Massive personality changes. Up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Massive medication dosing. And I'm talking a 22-year-old kid in college. And he's basically, you know, got all these problems and all these mental issues. What the heck? Where'd that come from? Guys, it's going to be a major, major problem when these kids are running the country. What do you think, Austin?
That's a very, very accurate assessment. And what we've also noticed, too, now is with the mainstream media aspect and also Hollywood, is if you guys have noticed over the last about 8 to 10 years now, something's occurred that's been unprecedented that we've never really seen displayed in Hollywood before. We have depictions now of children with autism or mental disorders, but they're still functioning as the heroes
Asperger's syndrome.
You name it. You put a name on it. I've seen numerous films now, numerous films. Sometimes it's a minor depiction. Sometimes it's a major depiction, like the movie The Accountant with Ben Affleck.
Yep.
This is something that is starting to occur more and more, because what they're trying to do now is they're actually trying to glamorize it and make it seem so if you have Asperger's or if you have autism, that you basically are better and you are stronger and you're more efficient than everybody else, and it's almost cool to have it. Now, I'm not saying if you have that issue or you have children with that, that there's not things you can do to help them out with it. I'm not saying they still can't be functional and they still can't be healthy and successful. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is now the Hollywood is trying to depict it as something that's almost trendy, like it's the trendy thing now, like it's almost cool to have some type of mental disorder or some type of tic, so to speak. And it's, the problem is Hollywood depicts it in the films like it's this really cool thing, and the guy is really smart, and he's really efficient with this. He just kind of has a personality disorder. But in reality, when you actually deal with that, and you see serious autism in real life, and you see people that are having all these allergies, and these children that are having non-stop chronic illnesses, it's not cool. It's not funny. It's not trendy. It's debilitating, and the families that have to experience that, you have to pray for them as much as you can, because it's very, very, very rough to deal with. And so what they're doing is now they're trying to depict this as the new normal. This will be the new normal. There's been so many films now that I have seen that have tried to make this like the autistic children are going to be the future. This is because this is what they're going to try to do. This is what they're doing with the vaccines. This is what they're doing with the entire generation. And I think that nailed it on the head with a lot of this information. I think the vaccines are a huge precipitating factor. However, I think social media, with the engineering, the re-engineering of the psychological profile that children have, is being done through social media at a young age now. When you couple the social engineering with the vaccines and the changes in the brains from the vaccines, and then also you start throwing in huge amounts of GMO high fructose corn syrup, GMO hydrogenated oils, GMO soybeans, GMO toxins out the yin-yang, along with the artificial sweeteners, you name it, in the food system, you're going to start creating a very sickly, very, very dumbed-down population that is essentially going to do whatever you want them to do. And now, this ties back into what I brought up last week. When you start having a significant portion of the population come down with a lot of these disorders, and they're having a hard time functioning, and the parents are trying to figure out how to cope with dealing with these children, and now you come out with something, just say like Elon Musk is producing, and all these other healthcare companies are already in line, like Neuralink. They want to roll out next year. That's going to be a neural link interface that's going to implant in your brain and supposedly make you smarter, faster, more efficient, learn quicker, have cognitive functioning, all this stuff. think about how easy of a sell that is going to be to a large percentage of the population when we now know the rates of autism, even in boys in New Jersey, is 1 out of 35. 1 out of 35, talking one on every school bus, is going to have autism. Now you're starting to see how the acceptance of the mark of the beast and a Neuralink chip and a 5G, 6G interface and how all this stuff ties in together, how people are going to accept it. Because if you have a generation that's unbelievably aggressive, has high testosterone, has really high IQ, is extremely healthy, and they go, no, I'm pretty sure I don't need a Neuralink interface. I'll do just fine on my own. You can keep that crap and give it to the birds. That's what the majority of the population is going to be. But now, as we've seen after World War One, and we've seen World War Two, and we've seen the Vietnam War, and now we've seen the war in the sandbox that is never ending, you see that you take a lot of the latest and greatest and the brightest and strongest and the most aggressive minds, and you send them to war every 20 to 30 years, and you decimate a huge percentage of the really smart, really resilient, really aggressive, really strong alpha male individuals, and you execute them in war, and you continually have those wars every single few decades to keep that population of the aggressive, overt alpha male males basically suppressed as much as possible, and then you bring about a new generation that has significant cognitive decline, horrible chronic illness, major depression, major anxiety, major pharmaceutical usage, horrible social connections, and now you switch over to that, you start realizing that those that I just described, the latter, are now becoming the majority and not the minority, and it's inverting. And now the strong, aggressive, cognitively effective, very, very you know, aggressive alpha males are now becoming the minority. And then on top of that, now you're taking that minority that's already a small amount, and now you're coupling them in and making the entire United States population through mind control and mainstream media believe that anybody that is strong and is a white male in their 20s and 30s is essentially a domestic terrorist, and they need to have their guns disarmed and they need to be arrested and detained until we can figure out what to do with these individuals that's such a danger to society. Why we sit around and promote the aspect of Asperger's and autism and make it the latest and greatest revolutionary aspect, and it's the new norm. For example, in Colorado now, a 17-year-old boy went gun target shooting with his mother in Colorado. Completely legitimate, safe gun practice with his mom. The Colorado teen now has been told he can no longer return to school until authorities hold a full threat assessment hearing after he went target practice. He's a junior at Loveland High School in Loveland, Colorado, and got a visit from police after his mom posted a video of him plinking with a Glock at a range. Showing the video, they simply went on that his mother went out taking him to train with their legally owned firearms. The police stated they had done nothing illegal and were well within their rights and determined that Nate was not a threat to himself or anyone else, and they went on their way. But that wasn't over. Unfortunately, even after the police determined there was nothing nefarious about the mother taking her son legally gun shooting for firearm training, the school district wasn't convinced. The school has not only refused to provide the mom with more information about the alleged threat, but they've now refused to provide Nate with schoolwork so he doesn't get behind, at the same time refusing to allow him to come back to the school system. The threat assessment hearing has been scheduled for Thursday morning at 10 a.m. at the school admin building, where Justine will be allowed to defend her son against seven school district officials who will be in attendance, and she was told she can make her case. Make her case for what? That she took her son legally gun target shooting in Colorado, that law enforcement has already done an assessment and deemed as completely legitimate, and she has to show seven school officials and make her case that it's legit? Now, what's crazy about this now is Justine has already contacted two different attorneys that specialize in Second Amendment issues. The attorneys have gone through the paperwork and the new, basically, terms and conditions that the schools now require a lot of parents to sign, and said that the school is actually legally within their right at this time. According to the attorneys, the school has a new protocol that must be followed when a report comes through, what is called the new Safe to Tell program. It is essentially a new snitch program. And what it does is, even if the report is completely false and there was nothing parents or students did illegally, the school system still has to do a full threat assessment on the child and the individual that made the report. Even if it was completely false, there is no consequences to the accuser whatsoever, hence the name Safe to Tell. It's a new snitch program they've started out in Colorado now to encourage individuals to snitch on other school students and essentially turn them in for the most meaningless things whatsoever, and the school actually has to go in and do a full assessment on it to figure out what is going on. And of course, again, like I said, if the accuser or the person that snitches on them even makes up the entire report and everything's completely fabricated, there is zero ramifications whatsoever to the accuser because of the new policy they set. So again, I step back and tell you, are we not having a full-scale war brought down on the American population that is conservative, constitutional, gun-loving, God-loving Americans? We now have 17-year-old boys that are actually going out and learning how to target shoot with their mother completely legally, suspended from school until further notice, and the mother has to go to the school district and has the opportunity, the privilege, to defend her child on what she did in taking him gun shooting. This is the new America now, and unless we start becoming more vocal like Dad and I do on this show and like we do all the time out in the general population, and we start talking about this and making sure people understand very, very clearly that this is not okay, we are not going to accept this lying down, that most of this is lies, most of this is rhetoric and propaganda from the left, and we have to see through it, and that's why we do this show, Dad.
You know, Austin, the University of Leipzig and Skinner and all these different, you know, operant and classical conditioning guys, they got into the United States educational system and just furthered it through the Frankfurt School in the late, in the mid-30s. And they're the ones that brought us all this classical and operant conditioning. And they're the ones that basically decided that everybody was a Pavlovian dog and we needed to ring bells and make them salivate. And this is how they wanted to raise the children in the schools. And it's a communist mindset is what it is. It's the programming of our youth and of our children. And what happened with Colorado used to be a huge gun rights state, huge. It was one of the best Second Amendment states in the country. And then all the people from California, all the liberal commies from California, decided they wanted to move to Colorado. And now Colorado is one of the most liberal states in the country. Now there's pockets of people in Colorado that still believe as far as Second Amendment rights, but the educational system is horrible. I've got a friend of mine, his name is Ken, he's got a daughter named Elizabeth, and she went to Southeastern University, you know who she is, and she basically got her undergraduate and master's degree from Southeastern like you did, Austin, and she decided she wanted to be a school teacher, and she was licensed and basically trained to do that, and she went to Colorado to be in the school system. She made it 5 years. After 5 years now, she's working, you know, on doing outside photography and also working with people as far as taking them hiking and camping and river rafting because she had enough. After 5 years in that unbelievable liberal system, she said, I'm done. I'm not gonna live like this. I'm not going to spend my whole life fighting this. And that's the problem. And again, it's that liberal mindset. And it's like you can talk to them until you're blue in the face. It doesn't make a difference. I was talking to a friend of mine this weekend, and I said, what I've learned is this. I don't argue with people anymore. I don't do that. I just walk away. I don't see any point in it. In fact, I was discussing this with Gene because he was on a bunch of chat groups, and he said that basically he gets so fed up with it because the people simply don't listen. The problem is we've so programmed everybody to believe the narrative by hearing it over and over and over and over and over and over again in the media that nobody wants to change it because of normalcy bias. And this is the problem that we've run into. They've established, and they've done it very effectively through operant classical conditioning. They've set us up now to believe there's a left-right paradigm in which we have the extreme left and the extreme right, and these two groups are at war with each other and literally on the brink of a civil war in the United States. And the sad part about this is the major group of these people on the left and the right are white people, okay, who have been programmed to believe what they believe. You have rights that are so far to the right that every time QAnon says something, they believe it. Every time Trump says something, they want to go to hear him at a rally and just, you know, and give him a Zig Heil. Oops, did I say that? Oh, I sure did, didn't I? And then you got the people to the left who want to go give Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton a Zig Heil, and they don't know what to do. And there's no, and they don't understand that they have been programmed to create this divide in the American people, which is being done on purpose to bring in a civil war. Now, you said something earlier, too, about the Asperger's and the autism becoming the new normal in Hollywood now promoting and glamorizing. The same people who run Hollywood are the ones that are causing, through the pharmaceutical petrochemical industry, this massive wave of autism. When we started this show 5 years ago, it was like 1 in 65, 1 in 72 children had autism. Now it's half of that. And now it's like 1 in 34, 1 in 35. In a couple of years, it'll be 1 in 17. You guys watch. 1 in 20, 1 in 17. You're going to say, well, Ted, how did you know that? Well, soon it'll be 1 in 25, 1 in 25, then it'll be 1 in 20, then it'll be 1 in 10. Then pretty soon it's going to be, you know, 2 in 10. And you're going to be, what the heck? You know, and you have 20% of the population autistic. And then pretty soon it'll be 50% autistic. Now remember, the autistic children will need to be rescued, okay, because they're going to be not, they will no longer be performing members of society until they get their neural link. Do you hear what I'm saying, guys? Listen to what they're doing. Until the autistic children get a Neuralink and tie them into the web, they will no longer be a performing society child. But here's the problem. That child will also be easy to control, and they can start pumping all that negative stuff in. So let's say, for instance, you took an autistic child who was basically brain damaged from the vaccines or from the glyphosate or whatever, and he basically couldn't walk, couldn't talk properly, couldn't do anything. All of a sudden, you put a Neuralink into him now, and suddenly he's actually communicating and walking and becoming more coherent, and everybody goes, oh my gosh, it's a miracle, I want a Neuralink. Then all they have to do is start programming what you receive in the Neuralink. It may not take the first couple of years or 10, the first 15 years, but they'll start putting stuff in there, like they'll download a cache of porn into your brain, and now you're like porn addicted. You're like, what the heck, man, I don't remember looking at this stuff. Why is this stuff in my memories? And what's going to happen is they can start doing all kinds of stuff in your brain. Then all of a sudden, every thought of every man becomes evil all the time. Guys, I'm telling you this. I know it sounds weird, and I agree with you. It sounds weird. But this isn't Satan's first rodeo. I don't believe this is the first civilization he's done this to. I believe this AI thing that works through Lucifer is a real problem in the entire intergalactic circles of the entire universe. I believe this thing, because this battle's been going on for millennia, the Bible says. I mean, it's been going on a long time since God cast him out of heaven. I mean, he tried to do a coup d'etat in heaven to unthrone God himself. That's who Lucifer is. And this whole battle's been raging now for thousands, if not, who knows how many years, hundreds of thousands of years. Who knows? I don't know. You don't know. Bible's not really clear on how long it's been going on. But it does say very clearly that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against all of these things that are going on. That's why we've got to stay true to the word. That's like Austin says. You don't want to get this Neuralink. How do you know? How do you know this is not the mark of the beast? When you stop being human, now you become the beast, the mark of the beast. You become part of the beast. You become part of the beast system because now you've been connected to the beast, with the beast, into a hive mind. How many of the civilizations and planets has he done this to already? I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. All we know, that these guys that are running this planet are being directed by some unseen hand as far as what we don't see. But remember what it said in the book, The Bloodlines. It said the Rothschild banking cartel, every evening, they've set a place table, a place setting, you know, because they have their little fancy butlers and all their maids and all that kind of stuff. And they have a place setting set at their dining room, their formal dining room table, for Lucifer. You think, what did you just say, Ted? Well, I'm going to say it again. The Rothschild family sets a place setting every evening for Lucifer to come to dinner. And they say, now this is what they say, every 37 years or so he shows up. And he tells them where they need to do with more, how they need to direct this, what they need to, and you're thinking, what is the significance of 37 years? I don't know. But the whole thing about it is that they set a place center for setting at the dinner table for the devil. I mean, this is some sick stuff. And guys, we need to realize that these guys are playing for the entire planet. And they already control the planet. They control the airwaves. They control the energy field around the planet. It's as a veil has been put around the hearts of the minds of the unbeliever. And I got to say this. Some other type of veil has been put around the hearts and minds of a lot of Christians that are so closed-minded they cannot see and to believe and know the truth. People are always saying to me, well, Ted, you don't want to read this, or you don't want to read that, or you don't want to do this. I'm like, no. I'll read just about everything, except for satanic stuff. I won't read that. I don't want that stuff in my mind. And I listen to a lot of news shows. I had a good friend of mine this morning. He sent me a link to another show, and the guy was, everything was GD this and GD that and F this and F that. And I told my buddy, I said, don't send me links like this. I don't want to listen to it. Don't have any interest in listening to it. Okay, because I don't want that stuff going to mind. I don't care how good the content is. I don't want to do it. That's what I love about our show. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect, because every once in a while I'll use a bad word. But the thing about it is that we try to do all of this stuff without saying bad stuff, because we're trying to be Christians. Now, are we better sometimes than others? I tell people a lot of times, I said, I'm a lot better. Sometimes I'm a better Christian than I am other times. Not that I'm any less saved, but sometimes I do better than other times. I've got a friend of mine right now. He's a radio show personality. He's being attacked by a co-host who's a witch. Now, do you hear what I just said? He's being attacked by his co-host who's a witch. I mean, attacked on a professional level. I'm sure she's attacked in the spiritual world. And apparently she gets together with her coven and starts to do things to him in the middle of the night or whatever via her coven. And, you know, now I've got a deliverance minister who's working with him, trying to get this stuff resolved with all of this. And you think, what the heck? Yeah. And the reason that happened is this. Come ye out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. What do you mean by that, Ted? Why in the world would you hire a co-host who's a witch, who talks to dead people? Why would anybody do that? Why is that okay? Do people not understand that as Christians, you know, we have to be in the world, but we're not of the world. We have to, like this morning, I had a guy working for me this morning, shows up smoking cigarettes. And I looked at him and I said, this is a non-smoking environment, no smoking. So if you got to take a break, go smoke somewhere out in the bushes or whatever during your break, that's okay. But we're not going to sit here and smoke cigarettes all day and everybody's got to breathe your secondhand smoke, and we're not going to do that. You think, well, Ted, that's kind of harsh. Well, I didn't say it wasn't harsh. Same thing if they start using God's name in vain. I'm going to stop that too. Certain things I just don't deal with real well, especially when I'm paying somebody by the hour to do certain things. Now, I understand that nicotine's a habit. Nicotine's a hard habit to break for some people, and I realize that some people have to have a nicotine fix every few hours. I got that. My mom was a cigarette smoker, 5 packs a day. I got that. I understand that. But the reality is that we have to ask ourselves a simple question. Where are we willing to draw the line in the sand? I talked about this last week. Where are we willing to say, no, we're not going to go past this? Where are we going to say, no, we're not going to put up with this anymore? I mean, and that's the problem that we run into, is that we continually compromise ourselves, and we compromise ourselves. We basically cause all kinds of issues with ourselves and our families and our loved ones and with Christianity. Here we go. Another study. I had one this a couple weeks ago. Here's another one. Another study confirms that fluoride IQ lowers effects on children. And it says it's already been established that fluoride crosses the placenta. So if you're pregnant and you're drinking fluoride using fluoride toothpaste, it crosses the placenta. And laboratory studies show that it accumulates in brain regions involved in learning and memory, and alters proteins and neurotransmitters in the central nervous system in the developing fetus. Now, a recent study is the first to estimate fluoride exposure to large birth cohort receiving optimally fluoridated water, published in the Journal of American Medical Association Pediatrics. The study has forced many to reexamine the practice of water fluoridation. And guys, we're seeing this over and over and over again. But yet, I'll sit right here and I'll talk about this at seminars, talk about this on radio, and yet when I say we have a water distillation system that removes fluoride out of the water, you make waters for pennies a gallon, get all of the junk, all of the sediment, all of the calcium carbonate out of it, all of the mercury, all of the lead, all of it out of it, it's like $300, $400 for this distillation system that you can pour water in, comes out one, and we have it up here, right? In the motorhome we have one. We have one of these little units. You pour a gallon in, 2 hours later you get a gallon out, and it's pure, and there's nothing in it. Tastes great. But I can say it over and over again that people won't stop using fluoride toothpaste. When they go to the dentist, they refuse to tell the dentist not to fluoridate their teeth and put a fluoride treatment on it. Now they have to pay extra. They have to do it. They refuse to not drink fluorinated water. And you think, well, what the heck? And now a lot of them say, well, I drink tap water or well water. Guys, I'm on a well up here, all right, in North Carolina. I could drink that water. It's pretty good water. But it's going to have all kinds of other things in it, like calcium carbonate. There's no telling what kind of toxins or whatever in it. It's just easier to drink pure water. Here's the deal. Either use a filter or be a filter. You're either going to put it in your body and filter it before you put it in your body. Your body's going to have to filter it. And your body doesn't do very well as far as filtering calcium carbonate. It has a tendency to build up inside of the arteries and inside of the joints. So it's really, really important that we understand how critical it is that you avoid fluoride. Another study just came out on the safety of aspartame. A new independent analysis reveals that the safety of aspartame is simply not there. It causes depression. It causes a messed up blood sugar regulatory mechanism. It causes brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, optic nerve degradation. You're thinking to myself, well, why are we drinking diet sodas? I don't drink diet sodas, guys. But we have to understand that there's certain things that we just have to eliminate. You think, well, I like it. I like diet sodas. Okay, well, I actually like the diet Dr. Pepper. I've drunk that before 35 years ago before I realized how bad it was. And I like regular Dr. Pepper, too. And I like root beer. And there's natural root beers out there that are sweet with stevia that you can get that you can drink. But my whole thing is if you drink at least half your body weight in fluid ounces of purified water every single day, you simply don't have to worry about drinking a lot of other beverages because you're already full of liquids. One more article, I'll also jump on this. It says, the scourge of right-wing extremism. And this article is written from a satirical standpoint. You have two white people, a man and a woman. They're basically in the backyard grilling with their two children, and everybody's happy and singing and everything else. And then you realize that how these people are being labeled as extremists and Klansmen and white supremacists when you start to realize that there's only probably a few thousand of those types of people left in the United States out of the millions and millions of other people who don't want to have anything to do with this, and they really have no influence on our society or any effect as far as the small amount of Klansmen that are still running around. Meanwhile, the real militias, the transnational gangs like the 18th Street Barrio 18 and the MS-13 have hundreds of thousands of members in the United States and comparatively no government or media opposition despite their murdering, kidnapping, trafficking, extortion, because they're just accepted as the new normal. Because it's racist to say that these guys are bad because they're Hispanic. Now, guys, I like Hispanics. You know, I like whites. I like blacks. I like Chinese if they're nice people. I've got friends of mine from all ethnic dominations and all religions. I like everybody if they're just nice people. But, guys, why in the world are they continuing to pick out on the whites? Well, again, have to do this because the whites have provided stability to our country. The Frankfurt School taught them that the white population has to go away. It has to be rendered ineffective. And it's already been done with our birth rates. It's already been done with the fluoride and the vaccines and all the other stuff. But what they want to do now, they want to take over the country to bring in their new world order. Out of chaos will come a new world order. This is the goal. George Bush said it. He said in his doggone speech. He says, we have a goal. We'll have a new world order, 1,000 points of light, blah, 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 operating by the rule of law. I mean, this guy was a nut. I'm glad he's gone. You know, so we have to understand who and what's in charge in doing all of this to us. Remember, it's always the guys who took down Building 7. It's always those guys. Austin, what do you think?
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, this is exactly what we're starting to see now is, I mean, everything we continue to talk about is because we're trying to bring up a lot of what's going on behind the scenes and what people don't really want to know about, but what people kind of do want to know about. I mean, just for example, I mean, we see these things that are going on constantly. We know that the military has said that by 2025 they want to own the weather. I was reading a report earlier last night and they were talking about how this hurricane that was going into Bahamas earlier, it was unprecedented because the level of lightning activity that was in the middle of the hurricane, and they were looking at some of the lightning and electrolysis and everything that was going on inside of the hurricane and how conductive it was and how much lightning activity was going on, and they said it was unprecedented. They said they've never really seen anything like this before, to have a storm with this much lightning in it. You know, I've been through dozens of hurricanes, and generally, they're right. You don't have a whole lot of lightning in hurricanes. She'll have some, but again, this was like a full-blown lightning thunderstorm in the middle of the hurricane, and it begs the question, was this hurricane engineered? I don't know. I'm not in it right now. I haven't seen the way they built a lot of this stuff through DARPA and through the Pentagon and the DOD and everything else, but we do know there is a pile of literature all going back to all the way to the 60s on weather warfare. We know that they want to have the advanced warfare and they want to own the weather by 2025. You can read the articles on that online already. So when you see stuff like this coming out and you know they want to use it, you kind of have to ask yourself, what's the next play in this? Because, you know, I was talking to a buddy about this last night with me. You know, now, I mean, if the Bahamas is completely and totally trashed, it's going to be a humanitarian nightmare, which means they're probably going to have to go in and relocate everybody that's been living in the Bahamas. They're probably going to have to relocate them in the United States now, which will primarily be Florida, just like we saw with Puerto Rico, which, again, I don't have a problem with because we really kind of have to help them out. They're our neighbors right there. I mean, they're getting decimated. But again, you have to look at what's the overall narrative. If you know they can make the weather stronger, if you know they can control hurricanes, then that also means they can make hurricanes smaller and they can make hurricanes dissipate. It goes both ways. If you can make something bigger, you can more than likely usually make it smaller. And so we look at all this stuff right now, and you have to ask yourself, what's the narrative? Florida has always been a conservative state for a very long time. If they can bring in enough people into Florida to turn Florida completely blue, it will be the next new California as far as when it comes to gun laws, when it comes to all the abortion laws, when it comes to everything. They're going to try and do that here. They want to take the highest population density states and completely and totally transform them into communist hellholes, just like they've done over in San Francisco right now. That's the overall goal. So when I see things like this happen and I see this hurricane stall to 1 mile an hour now above the Bahamas with still having sustained winds at 165 miles an hour, it always makes me question a lot. And again, I question a lot of things. I don't believe a lot of things I see simply because I've known a lot and I've read a lot and I've seen a lot and I've talked to a lot of people. And once you start realizing that majority of the stuff you see on the mainstream media is usually a lie. If it's not a lie, it's usually propaganda. And this is what you have to look at. Just like I talked about earlier, why in the world do we have a driver get pulled over on the interstate in the middle of the afternoon and have pinpoint accuracy shooting through his back window while he hasn't even stopped his car yet, and then happens to go grab another vehicle and go on a shooting spree around the whole town? And we have numerous 911 calls and law enforcement calls saying that there's multiple shooters in two different vehicles. And then after they shoot the guy at the movie theater, there's one shooter, lone shooter. That's the only narrative, one and done. Again, you have to question the narrative and question what's really going on behind the scenes. And that's what we do here at Health Masters to the best of our ability to try to give out not only the truth of what we find and what we know, but also our opinion on kind of a different aspect of it, as Dad and I do think of things a little bit differently than a lot of people do as far as stuff behind the scenes. So that's kind of what we do on here, Dad.
You know, Austin, it's interesting because, you know, we do the best we can, and you know, we try to bring you good news. Like Justin Bieber now is leading worship in a major church in L.A., and I hope and I pray that he continues to grow in his, you know, in his growth with Christ. I hope he does. I hope they don't take him out because he's doing this. And just, but on the opposite end, here's another one from this is from BizPack Review. He goes, actress praises a Baptist church, calling black Trump voters mentally ill. I mean, this lady is happy now because the sign says that if you're black and you're voting for Trump, that you're mentally ill. I mean, does that mean you want to continue to promote abortion or promote, you know, the Democrats were the party of slavery? I mean, you want to continue to push that? I mean, gosh, think about what they're doing to you, guys. Think about how they're doing it and how they're doing it so well and so efficiently. By the way, the German president now has asked forgiveness from Poland for Nazi tyranny in the Second World War. Now, what this German president has not done is he hasn't looked at the actual history of the Versailles Treaty and a big chunk of Germany being put into Poland's territory after World War I, and how the Poles tortured and did all kinds of horrible atrocities to the German citizens, including stealing them, beating them, killing them, and everything else. He's not talking about that. Now, the atrocities that were done in Poland during World War II by the Nazis, is that wrong? Yes. But Poland wants war reparations. They said that everybody else has gotten war reparations, although why can't they have war reparations with Germany? Now, you know, guys, I got a news flash for you over in Poland. A lot of bad things happened on both sides of that war. A lot of it's been obfuscated, and a lot of it's just straight lies now. But here's the thing. That was 1940, 1939. That's 60, 70, 80 years ago. Really? Get a life, okay? If Poland's got problems as far as financial difficulties, maybe you need to look internally to the government. Maybe you need to look internally to the work ethic. Don't be looking for another country to bail you out from a financial standpoint for for alleged war crimes after you completely abused the citizens behind Poland's borders for 20 years before the war started. Remember the Treaty of Versailles, 1919, whatever that was, and it was not until 1939. Basically, Hitler went in after he saw all the atrocities that were taking place in Poland and basically took care of these Germans that were behind the borders. Now, also, I'm going to say one other thing to you guys that are historians. Russia also invaded Poland. Why isn't Poland asking for war reparations from Russia? Okay, why is it that England declared war on Germany alone and not on Russia? Read the book, The Bad War. It's been banned by Amazon, but it's free. You get it for free. Just download it. Just read it. Read it on your iPad. I've read it. I've got a copy of it. The Bad War, banned by Amazon. A different look at what happened in World War II and what precipitated it. Interesting read. Not that I agree with all of it, but I tell you what, a lot of it agrees with what my mom said, who was there in Germany. Guys, I love you. Thanks for praying with me, praying for the storm, praying for it to be rebuked. And again, we cast it into the sea, and we just put it back out into the Atlantic Ocean. Father, I love you. I appreciate you doing that for us. And guys, I love you too. I pray for you this morning, and I just think you guys are absolutely awesome. Sharon and I went on a really vigorous 3-mile hike, mile and a half up a mountain, mile and a half back down a mountain yesterday. And I tell you what, it was over at Mount Lacan, Austin. You know that trail well. And I tell you what, We did it. I'm here. I am 63 years old, so running up and down the mountains. Guys, I love you. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Pray like it's all up to God. Work like it's all up to you. I appreciate you. I'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless you, Austin. Lord Fish.
Absolutely. And thank you again for all the continued support and everything people have been sending us on emails and stuff. We really do appreciate it. You know, we worked extra hard over this weekend. I mean, we were running, packing boxes all day yesterday. We came in yesterday and got more stuff done around Saturday, excuse me. We've been working all weekend to make sure we're getting everybody's packages out to you as fast as possible. We've actually got on the line with the local post office, and we'll be getting as many boxes as we can out and to the post office today by this afternoon so they can get out on the road already because of the Labor Day delay and then a lot of other stuff with the hurricane delay. Whether it delays anything, we don't know. But we do the best we can down here as a family-owned company to get your packages to you as quickly and as efficiently and as safely as possible, because we know there's a lot of options out there on the market. But when it comes to some of the highest quality supplements on the market, they're very few, and that's why we take pride in what we do here at Health Masters, and we really do appreciate all the support you guys give us. If you need anything, be sure to check out the website. And also, too, the last day of the coupon, Labor 5, will be going up until midnight tonight. Labor 5, 5% off the website. And be sure to check out the product of the week, the vitamin C formula. Also, too, we have a new kit that I put together on here that's been a very popular one. A lot of people have asked me about it, the Healthy Cardio Support Kit. It's a basic kit, but yet it's still a very effective kit. It's on the website right now for over 12% off. Be sure to check it out at healthmasters.com. Labor 5 coupon code for the Labor Day sale today. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for the support. Stay safe. Stay awake. Always stay prepared for anything. Have a blessed night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.